Matthew Barnaby joins us now. You love walking up and down, the Avenue of the Americas in Manhattan shopping, right?
I love it.
Yeah!
L.A., love it. Hey, you know, we could take walk shopping, too. We just have to go to Baby Gap.
Oh, that's true. That's... the children,
that's
he likes,
funny, Awoks.
He likes,
that's pretty good.
He gets most of his stuff at Carter's.
That's true.
Yeah. Oshkosh bagosh. Although you, that was probably a line you used on the ice.
That was fantastic.
Hey, yeah. Baby Gap.
There were some guys. Yes. Ray Ferraro. I used it on, I think, a few times. I think there's a few small ones out there that we use the small people jokes.
Although Ray would give it right back, but he always pokes fun at weight. That's what he does.
You know what, the one time, I remember I had my teeth knocked out, and I just got new chiclets put in. So I had chirped him on being something in the circus. I think a circus midget was my line to him. And he turned a bit around and started making horse noises and told me to go to lick a salt block, which was pretty funny because I just had brand new teeth put in. They barely fit in my mouth, but he was pretty good.
You were good at this from day one at the talking. Was anybody halfway through your career and you go, God, they had no game, and it's like they went to school for it one summer and suddenly got bad. Like, they would start doing research on other players. Was there a guy you remember doing that?
You know what? I don't remember anyone getting so much better. There were some guys that were cutthroat. Chris Simon would come right back at you, and just a good one. I remember ripping his family one time on the ice, and he turned right back around. And I come from a single-parent family. I never knew my father growing up, and he just looked at me, and he says, how's your dad?
Oh,
I remember I stopped in my tracks, and I went to the box, and I was like, wow, that was a good one. I had no response whatsoever, so I came back out next shift. I go, you know what, I really don't know. I have never met him. And we just started laughing. It was done there, but there were some guys with no game at all.
We ask you this because I think you've been the voice of reason on this Duncan Keith wakey thing, because I'll tell you why. None of this, it's not upstanding, and it's not something you'd say on the street if somebody ran into a pole and got knocked down, but Walker and I will go out and play a little rec league hockey, and man, outside of wife, kids, whatever, I mean, why can't we get just as angry as an NHL player would? I don't think it's that untoward. Of course, it's not a great thing to say to somebody who's barely conscious, but what are we going to do, suspend him for the comment? Come on.
Yeah, I mean, there's things that go on in athletics, and especially in professional sports. I mean, I see it at the teenage level with kids ripping each other, and you see it in the room. So is it right? No. Obviously, the guy was hurt. Backus was hurt. He had a concussion, but a lot worse things go on the ice. And like I said before, you're always looking for an edge. And professional sports in those arenas, in those locker rooms, just isn't commonplace that the normal person cannot get. And I understand the outcry for people that turn on and have an opinion on it. That's your opinion, but that's not what goes on in the real world of professional sports.
Matthew Barnaby, our guest, you have some good thoughts on this on your website, mattbarnabyhockey.com. You have a blog up there titled Wakey Wakey and some really interesting thoughts. But I've always thought that an element of trash talk, and you had it, it's a skill. It's being an agitator, right? I think everyone kind of wants a Matt Cook on their team if you can take away the awful, awful plays like we saw against Tyson Berry. You don't want to go the Sean Avery level where you become a circus off the ice. But if you can goad another team into a penalty, I think Brandon Prust maybe does it as well as anybody in the NHL. It's a big advantage to have.
It's funny you say that because Steve Ott, who I play with in Dallas, is terrific at it, and he's able to play the game. You have to be able to add another element than just trash talk. You have to be able to suck them into a penalty. You have to be willing to take a punch to the face. And it's funny we talk about this because my son's leaving today. He's going to Chicago for a USHL junior combine. And I said, you have to stick out. Now, you want to be, are you the most talented guy on the ice? Probably not. You have to stand out, and you have to be able to maybe adapt to a different role. I said, this worked for me. Now, not fighting might not be your thing, but like you said, with Brandon Prust and Steve Ott, they fill a role because guys want to kill them by the end of the game, and where it matters the most is in the playoffs because you see the guy night in and night out. And when I played, playing against Philadelphia, I was going after Lindros first game, first shift, and I was talking in his ear about his parents, about things that went on that I knew in the media or things that I did research on. So it might not pay off in game one, But when you hear it 5 days straight of the same things and over, sometimes they lose it. And the guys that don't have that mental capacity are going to slash you. They're going to punch you. And that's going to turn into a power play. That could turn into a series changer. And that's what I was wanted to do. That's what a Brandon Press wants to do, and certainly what a Steve Ott wants to do.
So Greg and I today, we're kind of kicking this around a little bit, and assuming that Boston ends up winning that series against Detroit. I mean, the Montreal Canadiens sweep out Tampa, and we asked, does Montreal have a decent enough chance against Boston? Now, my thought was, because Boston's this professional, unflappable team, yet Montreal, of all teams, Matt, finds a way to get under their skin.
They do. They have that, you know, they're very small up front, and in general, they're a very small team. So anyone can beat anyone. Let's get that out there. This is professional sports, and they're all very talented, but they do find a way to get under Boston's skin. And if Boston is disciplined, which I think Boston will beat Detroit, I mean, if you watch the first game of that series, Detroit was flying around. It looked like they were all on jet skis out there flying, but as the series wears on and Boston hits you over and over, you're going to slow down. I don't see Montreal, even though they've had their number and had a chance to get under their skin, Boston is so deep. If there's anything that you take away and give them a chance, is now they have a fourth line playing with Briere and Weiss, and they're doing a tremendous job, and they have Carey Price. So a goaltender can steal you a game here and there, but Boston is the much better team.
A lot of people like Chicago to come back in their series. How do you feel about it? And again, you got to back a Seabrook trade-off probably for the next couple games, but they'll get Brent Seabrook back for game six.
Yeah, I still like St. Louis. I picked them at the start of the series. Ryan Miller obviously let in a terrible goal in the last game, and it was the game changer. But you lose a Seabrook, that's a tough loss, even though they came and found a way to win game three. Backus is a big loss for St. Louis, but I still have St. Louis. They're still a very deep team that rolls four lines, that plays very, very physical. And I just I like St. Louis, the makeup of the team, even without Backus in that lineup, and hopefully he returns soon.